In the name of God Almighty, God of mercy and of grace, God of truth and of love, we come this morning thanking him for Jesus and the gospel, thanking him for the Holy Spirit and the Church of Christ, thanking him for the privilege and the opportunity to worship him on this day in spirit and in truth. It is certainly good to be back home. I feel like Dorothy in The Wiz when she said there's no place like home. And so certainly it is just good to be back at this congregation. This congregation is near and dear to me. I want to extend my appreciation to the elders here for the invitation to be here on this day. Certainly I want to extend my appreciation to Brother Snow and to Sister Snow as well. We have, when I say we, my wife and I have a very special relationship with them from the standpoint that I'm very appreciative that Brother Snow, almost 11 years ago, opened his doors to allow me the privilege to be his associate minister. And it truly was a privilege to be able to be under his tutelage and to have the opportunity to preach every once a month on a Sunday. It's one thing to do it every now and then, but it's another thing to do it once a month. And I will tell you, back in the day, that once a month just seemed to start merging together because it would take me, and my wife would tell you, it would take me a good 2 weeks just to prepare a 30-minute sermon, amen, back in the day. So we just thank God for him, and I just want him to know how much I appreciate both him and my wife appreciates Sister Snow, for we would get together very often, and we would talk ministry, and he would teach me things that I did not know and learned over the years. So very, very much appreciative of that. I'm thankful, Brother Snow, that just to show you his wisdom, he says, you know, I pulled Cher aside and asked her a couple of things. And I noticed, and I'm so glad that he asked her, because when he got to the point when he said they've been married for 18 years, I kind of hesitated, and I said, well, if he asked her, that's what it is. Amen. Amen. I'm glad he didn't ask me. Amen. Because I would have, it's been good. Amen. Amen. I'm about to mess this up, but we just thank God. I want to just say hello to my Elmwood Park family. Amen. Elmwood Park in the house, raise your hand. Amen. It is always good to be a preacher where your members love you enough to spend their gas money to come hear you preach again. Amen. Amen. So we're thankful for them. I want to just take an opportunity to recognize someone else who's very special to me. You met my wife, but I don't know how many of you have ever had the chance to meet my favorite mother. She is here today. I'm going to ask her to raise her hand. Raise your hand. Amen. And then not only do I have a favorite mother, I have a favorite aunt. Amen. And she's here as well, Sister Banks. I'm going to ask her to raise her hand. So I have my dearest members of my family who are here with me today. So we thank God for that. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1, 72 years. And I'm so thankful to have the privilege to be a part of this congregation and be a part of the history of the 72 years that this congregation has been here in this place. I know from firsthand the many great works and many great things that has been done and continues to be done in this area from your leadership, from your members, and of all working together in unity in 72 years by faith. Watch Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Is that in your Bibles? Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and By it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible. Is that in your Bible? To please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, is yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he commended the world, and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Living by faith. I want to talk to you this morning about faith. Faith is something that we talk about, but if we're honest with ourselves, it's something we rarely really understand. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is the stimulus to the spiritual life of the believer. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the fact that faith is the substance of things hoped for. What does that really mean? When we talk about the idea of faith, there is no escape from the truth. In order to have a successful, happy Christian life, we must understand, and I must understand, this thing called faith. We walk by faith. We overcome our obstacles that we have in our lives by faith. But yet, when it comes to faith, we have to learn that we can win this Christian race by having a better understanding of faith in our lives. Having faith does not mean that if you find yourself in trouble, that your trouble has come because of a lack of faith. You are what you are and where you are because of what has gone into your mind. And I'm going to share that with you in a moment. See, when we talk about faith, I've heard over the years Hebrews 11, 1, in reference to faith. But I begin to ask myself, what does that really mean in real life application? It sounds good to walk by faith. It sounds good that faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But what does that really mean? I want to take some time this morning and really talk about what it means. You see, the biggest problem with our faith is that we really don't know what it is. We know how to quote all of the scriptures that deal with faith, but yet we don't quite know how to live faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 7 says, "For we walk by faith." But what really does that mean? My friends, a life of faith is a life of trust. When we talk about faith, I want you to know that I may say some things this morning that just might hurt your feelings. When we talk about faith, there are people who don't even walk with God, who at times in their life have more faith by accident than we do by purpose. There are people who don't even walk with God who have more moral integrity by mindset than we do by mission. So let's talk about faith. Now listen, now I understand it's 5 minutes to 12, and I am a call and response type of preacher. The more you say amen, the more I feel you get it. If you don't say amen, we'll be here till 2 o'clock. Amen, somebody. I knew I would get some amens. I got some chicken and some stuff in that kitchen I know you want to get to. So, hey, say amen if you can. What is faith? What does it mean to have faith? How do you learn faith? Faith is not, there's no such thing as a faith academy or faith academy, and we go through 6 weeks of training and learn about faith and come out with a six-week certificate. How do we learn? How do we understand faith? Where do we go to understand what faith really is, not only in my life, but in your life? What faith is to you in certain situations may be different from me, but yet we all have faith, but we all have various degrees of faith, and we must learn how to be able to handle the situations in life and what faith means to us. It's one thing to quote it. It's another thing to be able to take the quote and figure out how to apply it in my life. You guys have time. Number one. What I want you to see when it comes to faith. Faith is a mindset. It really is a mindset. Faith, Hebrews 11:1, is the substance of things hoped for. Watch now what faith does. Faith, Brother Snow, makes things happen. Faith becomes the substance. Substance is something, my friends, that you can grab onto. So when we talk about faith, we're talking about something that we cannot see, but yet we can grab onto it knowing that it is there. I can't see it. I can't touch it, but it's there. I know it's there. It makes things happen. The faith is the main ingredient of our Christian life. Can I say that again? Faith is the main ingredient. You see, everything else that we build upon builds upon our faith. It's almost like trying to make a cake. You can put all of the ingredients in it, but if you don't put the flour in it, you don't have anything but a mess. You hear what I'm saying? Watch this. The invisible with faith becomes visible. Just because we can't see it does not mean that God can't do it. That's why the Hebrew writer says, now faith is the substance of things hope for. It is something that you can grab onto. It is something that you are hoping for. You cannot see it. You cannot touch it, but you believe that God is able to do whatever God says he can do. So you step out on faith, believing and knowing, I can't touch it. I can't see it. I don't know what tomorrow may bring, but faith tells me that I can step out knowing that whatever it is I'm hoping for, that God has the ability to make it happen. Watch this. He says, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. You see this idea of understanding. You see, really what faith is, it brings the future within the present and makes the invisible seen. It says, through faith, we understand. What do you mean? What does he mean when he says, we understand? See, this is what I mean when I say that faith is a mindset. It is a perspective. It is an understanding. I have faith that when I get behind the wheel, that God has the ability to protect me from all the... Our biggest problem in the church is we talk about faith. And I'm afraid that we have misled people to believe that faith is just a feeling. And what I mean by that is that sometimes we think that the more we're blessed, then that's because of our faith. But let trouble come in our way, and then we begin to feel that God is trying to do something against us, when that may not always be the case. Faith is an understanding. Faith helps me to understand that whether I have good days or whether I have bad days, my faith allows me to understand that God is still able. It is a perspective. Watch this. By faith, Abel, watch this. I want to show you something. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Faith is a selection. You have to choose whether you can walk, whether you want to walk by faith or walk by fear. It is a choice. Faith, you have to choose whether you want to walk in confusion or walk by courage. The only way you're going to get through life is to walk by faith. It's easy to talk about it, but it's harder to really put it in action. You have to choose how you will look at your life. You see, faith. I never forget. My mother's here. I never forget when I was growing up. My mother used to always say to me, now look, when you leave out of this house, I need you to make sure you have on some clean underwear. That didn't make sense to me. But it was important to her that I have on clean. You know, I can be on the ambulance and my neck could be broken, leg could be broken, but at least I can say my underwear is clean. That's a funny analogy, but I want you to see where I'm going with this. By faith, my mother believed that God, through faith, was able to protect me. But yet, in the midst of it all, it was important to have the right mindset, just in case. What was the mindset? The mindset was, at least I'm clean all over. What is faith? It's a mindset. Watch Abel. The Bible says that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Watch the progression of the characters. Abel worshiped God by faith. But now notice the difference between Abel and Enoch. Abel worshiped God by faith, by giving a better sacrifice. Watch what Enoch did. Now, if you know anything about Enoch, Enoch walked with God. So Abel worshiped God by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. But in order to worship God, you have to walk with God. In order to walk with God, you have to worship God. You can't have one or the other. They both have to be in harmony. by faith. Why did you come this morning? It's because the elders told you to come. Amen. You're supposed to obey your elders. Or did you come by faith in order to have a relationship with the one that got you up this morning? You see, I can worship God by faith and give God on the first day of the week. I give God my best by faith, whatever my best is, and I don't spend my life, my time in worship worrying about what other folk are doing. My focus is on me giving God my best by faith. Problem is we spend too much time worrying about other people's. I'll leave that alone. Abel worshiped God by faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. But then the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So, church, faith is not just something that we just pick up on Monday and drop off on Tuesday. Faith, in order to please God, the Hebrew writer is trying to help us to understand that faith, in order to be pleasing in the eyes of God, faith is something that gives God the glory. Faith is something that gives God the praise. We must have faith in God Almighty. Our problem is that we struggle with a relationship. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that does what cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, in order to be pleasing to God, we have to, number one, diligently seek him. Number two, we have to believe that God is able to see. So many times what we do is we allow life circumstances to determine our degree of faith. But we'll go over to Genesis chapter number 22. I want to show you something in just a second. I want to show you that our degree of faith should not be based on life circumstances. Sometimes when things are going good, then we're faithful. But when things are going bad, then we drop off. I can't tell you how many times in the ministry I've met folks that said, when I get my life together, I'm going to come back. Honey, you can't get your life together outside of God. You need to be where faith is. And it is important to choose your faith friends carefully. You see, I come to worship to be encouraged. But there are some folk, there are some faithful folk that will drain every ounce of faith out of you. So you have to choose your faith friends. You see, you can't go to everybody and tell everybody your struggles. Because God knows there's sure enough some folk in the church that will wear you out spiritually. Give you all kinds of bad advice. So you have to be careful of the type of folk that you choose to be in your faith circle. There are times in my life when I need some faith friends in order to help me get over. Have you ever met folk that just negative about everything? Amen, somebody. I mean, if the sun is shining and it's 90 degrees, they will find something wrong with that. Those type of folk have a hard time with faith. Are y'all all right? What makes us different from motivational speakers? It is that the foundation of Christianity is built on one thing, it's faith. If you miss the faith thing, it doesn't work for you. You have to choose to walk in faith. Walk by faith is easy to preach about, is easy to sing about, but for some folk it's harder to do. You see, in order to have faith, you have to have endurance and patience. If you look at Hebrews chapter 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he commended the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Understand that when you look at Noah, Noah did what? Noah built an ark. But this ark wasn't built overnight. Noah not only was building an ark, but Noah at the same time was preaching to a world that was not willing to hear what he had to say. It took Noah, and some scholars are debating on how long it took. Some say 40 years, some say 75 years. In my mind, it doesn't matter. All I know is God told Noah to build an ark. He built an ark, but it didn't happen for him overnight. Now that's faith. Here's Noah working at this thing for God, let's just say hypothetically, for 40 years. Here's Noah being ridiculed by the people for 40 years. But Noah continued to do what God had told him to do. Why? By faith. You see, a lot of times when we look at faith, we think faith ought to be a one and done. Honey, sometimes you have to work on that faith test for many years. God gives us trials. God gives us things in order to help us to have the endurance to overcome. Problem with us is that it's almost like the young folk, you know, this generation, they different, but I love them. This generation, I'm struggling, brother. I brought my iPad because there's a part of me that wanted to preach from my iPad because it's just the end thing to do, but there's the old-fashioned part of me that says, you know what, I like paper. And so I'm struggling. I'm between wanting to be young and just old-fashioned. But young people, they're not very patient. They like things to happen right away. And that's how we are in our Christian world. We want things to happen. God, I'm praying about this now. I expect for you to make it happen tomorrow. Well, God never said that he will make what you want happen tomorrow. God will do it on his time. But we have to learn how to be patient and allow God to do what God says he can do. Many times we get off the bus, if you will, and give up on God when all God wants us to do is just to continue to hold on. Faith, my friends, is an endurance. Watch this. Go over to Genesis chapter number 22. It's almost like I met Sister Bess. Thank you, Brother Snow, 18 years ago. And when I saw her, I kind of liked her. No, that's not true. I really liked her. and you know, we got to talking. After about 2 months, I said, you know what? Let me step out on faith. Let me just go ahead and seal this deal real quick. So I went out and spent every dime I had, cashed some bottles, bought that woman a ring. After 3 months, 6 months later, we were married, and we've been married 18 years since. Now, amen, you can, amen. Now, I stepped out on faith. Now, the truth is, I didn't know what I was getting, and she didn't either. It's amen, somebody. But we both stepped out on faith, believing. I could not see Brother Snow 18 years later. I could not see my son. I could not see my daughter. But I believed that if I was committed, that God would bless this marriage, that God through faith was able to do what God is able to do. Can I drop this on you and go over to Genesis 22? Let me drop this to young people. Let me share something with you as you're dating. I love to talk about young people and dating. Let me share something with you. You know, I know a lot of times, especially young men, you know, we fall and see this pretty girl and we just get, yeah, dumb. He said that, yeah. I didn't say that. Brother Jameson said that. And we just fall in love. And a lot of times, what we have to learn how to do is through faith. Sometimes you have to be able to find out some things about each other and take her out a little bit and find out what she's like. And young ladies, take him out and let him take you out. Amen. But I got me a job and honey, you keep that money. You let him take you out. If he is serious about dating you, amen, somebody, let him spend his money, honey. And he bet not talk about taking you to McDonald's, amen. See, there are some things that we can test when it comes to faith, amen. You can tell him I said it, Ruth Chris. That's a test, isn't it? Yeah. So a lot of times what we do when we deal with this thing called dating and faith, we fall in love with the very first one that says that they like us. But the faith test is that sometimes you have to be patient and allow God to reveal some things to you, because you may find out some things about him or her later on that may be the deal breaker for you. And guess what? That's okay. You don't have to marry the first one that says I love you. Ooh wee. Amen, somebody. Process. Genesis chapter 22. And young ladies, there's a difference between faith. See, sometimes we confuse faith with common sense. I have faith, but I also have some common sense. I have enough faith that common sense that I know that if I go to the top of a building and jump off, amen, somebody, I look like a fool talking about I have faith. Yeah, you have faith. Let us know what casket you want us to use to bury you in. You see, there's a difference between faith and common sense. You see, sometimes we have faith, but we lose all common sense. Can I share with you a common sense thing, young ladies, when it comes to faith? When you go out with a young man and you're dating, you go out with him, and he... And let's say, for example, you have to get up from that table. Let me show you what the difference between faith and common sense. I believe faith says God is able to do all things. Faith helps us to understand that God is a protector of those that diligently seek and serve him. I understand that faith concept. I believe that. I do. I believe that. But common sense says this, that when you, young ladies and now young men, if you get up from that table and you walk away and you come back to that table, here's what I want you to do. I want to show you faith, but I also want to show you some common sense. Here's what I want you to do. I want you, when you come back, ask that waiter or waitress for another pop. Why you say that? Because, no, I have faith. But common sense tells me that there are some things that happen in this world today where folk will slip stuff in your drink that you don't know about, and you'll find yourself years later all messed up, not knowing why. Faith says, believe God. Common sense says, get another pop. Y'all see the difference? This is just real practical. Watch Genesis 22. Beginning in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his, is in the Bible, ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to a place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon that lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it talks about the fact that Abraham was a man of faith because he's willing to sacrifice his son Isaac. But here's something I want you to see in Genesis chapter 22 when it comes to Abraham and Isaac. In order to have faith, you have to have a relationship. You see, it's hard to have faith with God if you don't have a relationship with God. You see, faith is more than a Sunday morning relationship. You see, coming to church at 11 o'clock and leaving at 1 o'clock, sometimes we think that we've done God a favor. You haven't done God a favor. God's done you a favor. So we limit sometimes our faith between 2 hours. And Lord knows if the preacher lasts too long, then we have an attitude. Amen, somebody. That's not faith. Or rather, that's not a relationship. You see, very often when it comes to God, we have what people who I call users. You see, their relationship with God is based on what God can do for them. And as soon as God does for them, they're done with God and they no longer have a relationship with God until the next crisis comes in their life. And here they come back again, wanting to get close to God. Who wants to be treated that way? Watch this. In order to have faith, we have to have a relationship with God. If you look at Genesis chapter 22, notice three things. Abraham was told by God, the Father, to go sacrifice his son. Abraham did not hesitate. He got up early the next morning, grabbed his son Isaac. Isaac is coming along. He explains to Isaac that we're getting ready to go and sacrifice. And Isaac, his son, says to him, where is the lamb? And Abraham says, God will provide. Now, I want you to see the dilemma. Abraham is believing God the Father. Why did Abraham do what God told him to do? Because he had a relationship with him. In other words, he had faith. He trusted God. Number two, Isaac had a relationship with Abraham, his earthly father. He was wondering where the lamb was, but yet Isaac trusted Abraham. Why? He had faith in his father, and his father had faith in God. In order for the two to have faith, they had to trust each other. In order to have trust, they had to have a relationship. Watch this. So Abraham and Isaac get to the place where Abraham is getting ready to sacrifice his son. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Abraham lays Isaac on the altar. Isaac willingly laid on the altar. And understand, the altar, it wasn't like a comfort bed. It was wood. It was uncomfortable. So here's Isaac laying now on an uncomfortable altar and still wondering what in the world is about to happen. Now, Isaac is not stupid. Understand, Abraham was about to do more than just slay him. It was a burnt offering. He was going to slay and burn. Isaac lays there. Not only does Isaac lay there, he allows Brother Rose, his father, Abraham, to tie him down. So even if Isaac wanted to get up at one point, he was bound, he was tied down, and could not have gotten up. Watch this. Abraham trusted God. Isaac trusted his father. Both were bound in the situation that they really had no idea how they were going to get out of it. Abraham, for all practical purposes, did not want to slay his son. What father would? Isaac is now bound in a situation that he himself cannot get out of. But God. Watch this. God speaks to Abraham. And he says, lay not thy hand upon that lad. Neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. My friends, what is faith? It's more than just quoting a scripture. It is believing that if you are tied down in a situation that you don't know how to get out of, it is believing that God can, if anybody can get you out of it, I don't care what situation you're tied down in, maybe it's stress, maybe it's depression, maybe family situation, whatever it is that's tying you down, faith says, I believe that God is able to unbound whatever it is that's holding me down. I don't see it. I'm not quite sure how God is going to do it. I am in an uncomfortable. Have you ever been in an uncomfortable situation in your life? I'm uncomfortable about this situation. I'm uncomfortable about where I'm at. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to get out of this, but I am going to keep holding on to faith. I can't see what tomorrow may bring. I can't even see what the next hour is going to bring, but I'm going to keep holding on because I believe that whatever it is that is tying me down, I believe by faith that I can reach for it, and sooner or later, God will release me. Our problem is we allow so many life circumstances to cause us to lose our faith. We allow people, Sometimes we even allow churches. Yeah, I said it. To cause us to lose our faith. Sometimes even churches go through struggles. Just like we go through as individuals struggles. But the only thing that will help us to be able to overcome, and when you look at Genesis chapter 22, understand that God was in the process at the same time Abraham and Isaac were trying to figure it out. At the same time, God was in the process of bringing up a lamb up on the other side of the mountain. God is always providing when we don't see it. They didn't see it, but God was bringing up a blessing for them in the end. And sometimes in your life, you may be going through something. You don't see it, but honey, hang on. God is bringing a blessing on the other side. Our problem, our biggest problem is us. Yeah, we get in the way. We get in the way of God. We always are trying to fix things that's not meant for us to fix. A lot of times we get in the way of God. And when we get in the way of God, we always mess it up every time. Isaac was obedient. Abraham was obedient. God the Father knew what he was doing. And very often we allow our vision, we allow other people to ruin our faith. It doesn't matter what someone else believes. It doesn't matter what other people say. Hang on and cling on to what you know in terms of your relationship with God. Many times we based off our relationship off of what other people think or feel. It's not about what other people think or feel. It's about you and your relationship with God. If it's right, then you hang on to it. Where's your faith? Are you just talking about it, but don't really practice it? Brother Bess, I'm afraid. You know the ironic thing about faith is that in the neighborhood, we have a lot of other things in the neighborhood. What do you mean by neighborhood? I'm talking about in our lives. You see, we have faith, but we also have to struggle with other things that's within us along with our faith. You see, in the neighborhood of our souls, we have faith, but we also have doubt. Oh, honey, it's there. In the neighborhood of our souls, we have faith, but we also have fears. It's there. In the neighborhood of our souls, we have faith, but we have anger. It's there. You see, faith doesn't live alone. We have various things within us that's fighting against us. And what we have to learn how to do is we have to learn how to suppress all those other things that keep us from faith and allow faith to be the primary focus of our lives. Living by faith. It sounds good. It does. Until you learn how to apply it. And here's the wonderful thing. I'm teaching my firstborn how to drive. Yeah. Amen, somebody. He's doing good. He's doing good. He's doing good. Amen. So, you know, he likes nice things, and so I have a Chrysler 300, and I have an old Honda 2005, and that's my kick-around car. So Aaron is raring to get out and driving, and so I let him drive the big car. Yeah, I stepped out on faith. He did good, amen. But then common sense kicked in. You see the difference between faith and common sense. I said, well, this is my 300. I got the Honda. So I said, next time Sunday we drive, we'll take the... Amen. So faith says, You know, he's raring to get out and to drive, and you know, he's ready to get in the big car, but I have faith, but also I have common sense, and common sense says, even though I have faith that God can provide, God gives me this thing called common sense. In other words, in order for him to graduate to the big car, he first has to learn how to drive the little one. You see, man, I told him, I said, listen, son, after a while you'll be whipping it like that, or you can just do it, turn that wheel with one hand, one finger. But in order to graduate to the big car, I need to give you some time to work in the little car. It's the same way with our faith. Sometimes we fall, and sometimes we fall short, but understand that's why the little car is there, if you will. Sometimes we just have to learn how to drive that thing, and the better we get at driving it, the stronger our faith gets. So many times we're trying to drive something that we don't know, that we're not prepared to drive. That doesn't mean that God is not able. It just means you're not ready for that yet. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's what faith is. Faith is something we're constantly getting better at. It doesn't happen, Brother Jameson, overnight. You don't graduate from Faith Academy and you have all the faith in the world. That is a lie. That's not true. That's not realistic. Once we conquer one thing, guess what? There's another thing that we're learning how to do better at. By faith. Song leader, are you ready? They said amen enough, and I know that chicken is probably getting cold, so amen. Are you ready? Where's your faith? Brother Snow, I wish. I love Elmwood Park. I love the church. I wish if we could just get people to strengthen their faith and really know what it means, we really could really fill our churches. The problem is that we are sometimey in our faith. We're not every Sunday Christians. I've been doing study in the New Age. They don't get the idea of coming every Sunday. I got to come every Sunday. Well, can't you just like text me what the scripture is and I can just meditate on it? Amen, somebody. But by faith. We give God 2 hours out of a day because God has given us 24 hours times seven. And sometimes that 2 hours for us is such a struggle. And I begin to ask why. If you're walking by faith. So somewhere, if I say, are you ready? That means they're going up. Because if you don't go up, I'll keep talking. So yeah, go on. Yeah. That's how we do it at Elmwood, so. Where are you in your faith? This afternoon, if it's Lord's will, I want to talk about faith in crisis. I want to show you how to handle your faith in crisis. And all of us, if you haven't been, you will be at one point in your life, you're going to be in a crisis mode in your faith. And I'm going to show you how to have faith through crisis. Are you here today? Maybe you're not a member of his body. If you're here today and this is your first time, we want you to know this: your presence here today was not by accident. It was by providence, thank you, the providence of God. You're here for a reason. Maybe you're here today and you've been struggling with faith. Maybe you're here today and you've been questioning your Christianity. Maybe you're here today and you've been questioning all the pressures and things that are coming at you in your life. This message was for you to help both you and I understand that with God you can hold on because God is able. Maybe you're here today and you're a member of his body and you're falling short. Maybe you've allowed people and circumstance to keep you from giving God what God is due. Now is your opportunity. to make it right with God. The Bible says in Mark 16:16, when it comes by faith, when it comes to salvation, the Bible says, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. The Bible says in order to be saved, you must hear the word, believe the same, repent of your sins. That simply means make a turn. You're going this way, now I'm making a turn. Repent of your sins. Confess the sweetest name that man has ever heard. And through baptism, God will add you to the church you can read about in the Bible. Now, here's what I want you to understand, that you are baptized into the body of Christ. But by faith, if you had a DTE energy bill of $500 when you went down, honey, it'll be there when you get back up, but you'll be blessed. I don't want you to think that all your life's struggles end once you be baptized. But guess what? You have God now on your side, and you're able, and God is able, because you're now a child of God. Now you're able to get through the pressures of life because God is there with you. That's the difference between before you're baptized and after. You're now in the kingdom of God, and all of us together can work at it together. Maybe here today. Whatever you need, whatever you desire. Come now as we stand and sing.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, Lord, hear.
Are you here?
Hear my humble.
Are you here?
Cry.
God is calling you.
Cry.
Where is your faith?
While on earth,
have you allowed the pressures of life to cause you to give up on God?
Lord,
now's the opportunity.
Do not pass.
We don't want you to pass God
by. I'm calling you.
He's calling.
Safe.
He's calling.